Okay, Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended himself, also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all respects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. That you, being renewed in the spirit of your mind, put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. Let him who steal no longer, but rather let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Amen. So again, going on in Ephesians, the first part, remember, three chapters dealt with who you are in Christ, your position in Christ. And now the last three, and we'll start here, which is actually an incredible chunk of material, deals with, well, now that you are in Christ, how now should we live our lives? The fact that you're in Christ now requires a response. In this case, a response of obedience, a response of holiness. It's really this aspect of us coming together and understanding. In church, you guys heard me talk about this place of being in the radical middle. The one aspect is that, you know, we are saved by grace. But yet on the other side too is that we also follow the law. And there's this aspect where those two things come together, and Paul is really putting these pieces together. This is your position in Christ, in Jesus. This is what God has done for you. This is the benefits of that. So then this is our holy response to him, Jesus, for us, every one of us being in Christ. And so he says, goes back, so I'm a prisoner, you know, and so I want you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you've been called. I really like the way he phrases this. He's not saying, okay, you just do what you need to do. He's saying, walk in a manner worthy of what God has given to you. And the same thing in the family. We can say, you know, don't just obey because you're a son, but because you're a son, there's a special privilege that you have. And so walk that privilege out. And he says, with humility, gentleness, patience, showing forbearance with one another. Notice these are all issues dealing with conduct. And he'll continue on in this thing. And Paul, one of his main overriding goals in the book of Ephesians is talking about unity. And so he talks about this unity of the Spirit. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. It's this unity of the Spirit. And it's really, really important. Notice that when he's talking about this idea of unity of the Spirit, that one of the ways that manifests this is our behavior towards one another. Be kind, forgiving, all these different aspects. These aspects really build the unity of the Spirit. In contrast, at the end of this thing, he lists things that grieve the Holy Spirit. And it's anger, unwholesome words, bitterness, wrath, slander, clamor. All these aspects actually quench the Spirit. And so he's putting two pictures together. One picture that you have is that these are things that build the unity of the Spirit, and these are things that grieve the Holy Spirit. And unity in the Spirit, or the Spirit, is actually a really important thing. Go to Acts. I'll show you something real quick. This is, I believe it's Acts chapter 5. This is Ananias and Sapphira. Remember, they sell a piece of land, and they basically lie to God about the proceeds. God never asked them to do that. They just kind of did it on their own. And he says in verse 3, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You never really see this phrase that often. In fact, I don't think any time besides this, that you actually lie to the Holy Spirit. And then in end of verse 4, he says, you have not lied to men, but to God. And so he makes this this kind of point. You've lied to God, and you've also lied to the Holy Spirit. Peter is meaning by this as he approaches Ananias, that you have to recognize in this situation, it seems a bit harsh. Let's be honest, doesn't it? God kills Ananias for lying. Now, if that was the punishment for lying, none of us would be here right now at church. Understood? I'm sure many of you lie. Hopefully you haven't lied in a while, but maybe, you know, I'm thinking back in the days. If death was the consequence of lying, we'd be in big trouble. But this was the consequence that Ananias had. And I believe it's not necessarily the lying, it was the timing of the lie. And so you're looking at the church that's pristine. It's almost perfect at this stage. And now we're introduced to one of the first sins that erupt from the church. He lies to God because he lied. He sinned against God. But he lied to the Holy Spirit because he sinned against the church. He basically introduced sin in many ways into this pristine church. He broke the unity of the Spirit. When you, as a brother or sister of Christ, when you begin to operate in slander, in anger, in malice, especially in the context of the body, you sin against the Holy Spirit in terms of our relationship as the body of Christ. I mean, it's a pretty serious thing. You violate the unity of the Spirit, and Paul calls that grieving. I mean, it's quite a serious thing that we ought to remember. Remember, what is the enemy's, one of his titles? He said he's the accuser of the brethren, right? You know, I heard Rick Warren speak last year or so, and he was talking about how a lot of people are really criticizing him during this time, and he was saying that most people that are criticizing him are actually people in the church. And he said this statement, and I was just kind of floored. I was shocked by the truth of the statement. And he said that when we just go about our life and we are constantly criticizing the church and the leaders of the church and whatnot, he's saying you're doing the devil's work, because his primary role, he's the accuser of the brethren. You know, and I was like, whoa, because I never heard it phrased like that before, and I realized, wow, this is really true. You know, I don't want to do the devil's job. Anyone want to do the devil's job? You know, I don't want to align myself with the enemy on this matter that happens. And so, because he's the accuser of the brethren, and the moment that we start accusing the brethren, we align ourselves to the devil. And it just kind of woke me up, and I realized, oh man, I better watch out. Remember David, a man after God's own heart. He says, you know what, I will never touch God's anointed. Even though I mean, in my own words, even though Saul's a knucklehead, even though he's trying to kill me, I will never touch God's anointed. You know, in the church, we've lost that a little bit. Don't you think? We've lost that kind of sense of holiness. We've lost that sense of respect, not necessarily for the person, but for God who placed that person in leadership or in authority. No one's perfect, okay? And so I'm not saying that we need to be robots and just listen to everyone says, but there's a whole different attitude about accusing, you know, versus going to talk to somebody. You know what I mean? And so I mean, this is something that I think we should be very, very aware of, you know, when we come into this place, because he's saying, because we are one. What, because we're one body, what I do affects you, and what you do affects me. Just like in one right now, I'm telling you, right now I'm hurting. My body's hurting. I finally lifted weights yesterday, first time in like 3 weeks, and I can't move my arm past this point. I overdid it a little bit, and so my triceps are just thrashed, right? And so that's why I'm moving like this. You know, and what I do with one part of my body affects everything. Now, like, I look funny. You know, I can't really move around. I had one heck of a time showering this morning, trying to wash my hair. I was like, you know, trying to move my head down. But what you do, what one part of your body affects other parts. And his whole theme here is because we are one body, one faith, one baptism. We are one. And so what you do to one person in the body, in the fellowship, the house of God, affects others. And eventually it will affect you. Because what happens is the Spirit leaves. We don't ever want that to happen. You know, we don't ever want that to happen in the fellowship, in the body of Christ. And says, and we're one. And so as one, God gives us things. He blesses us that we can build up this one body. And, you know, this is the whole, when he ascended on high, this is when he talked about when he, literally the word is ascension, right? When he ascended, he also gave gifts to men. And this is primarily talking about the gift of salvation, but Paul uses it in a broader context here. You know, and he ascended, you know, he descended. This is the Apostles' Creed that we read about. And then he talks about this is what happens in the world of the body. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We call this fivefold ministry. The five offices in the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors. For what's the purpose of this? For the equipping of the saints for work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. And so God puts in the church offices, apostles, an office of apostle, an office of a prophet, office of a teacher, office of evangelist, and office as a pastor. The point is to build up the body. So who can do the work? The apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists? No. So the body can do the work. God brings into the church leaders operating out of different offices, brings them into the church to help the church to fulfill their calling and their mission in their life. Now, what happens in a lot of churches is that you guys come to church and we feel like this is how we do evangelism. I just need to bring my friend to church and let Pastor Sam take care of the rest. Or let the staff, your pastors take care of the rest. No. That's unbiblical, right? That's not the way you do it. What the way you're supposed to do it is I, as the leader, I equip you so you can go and do the work of the ministry. You know, I don't want this any vicarious living through your leaders. That's not the Christian life. Okay, and I know that in many traditions and settings, that is quite common, right? It's like, well, I don't really need to pray because my pastor prays a lot, and so I'm covered. No. It doesn't work that way. You know, I don't really need to study the Bible because when I come on Sunday, the pastor teaches me the Bible. Yes, to a point, right? But the teaching is to equip you, is to supplement what you're already learning and growing in God on your own, right? Don't you think that's what makes church really exciting? And I talked about this before. Sunday service becomes celebration service because what it is, it's all of us that we come together. Like, this is my life in God. I'm spending time with God during the week. I'm praying. I'm downloading. All these wonderful things are happening. So when I come to church, it's like I'm bumping into other people. And it's, think of this like your cup, you're overflowing. And it's celebration because you're literally spilling yourself on other people. You know, if we're going to use this imagery of this cup, where, you know, this jars of clay, this treasure, and because we're eating throughout the week, and we're feeding ourselves, and we're in the Word, and we're praying, when we come together, we are just spilling over on other people. And that's celebration service. That's when, you know, I mean, that's powerful. But what ends up usually happening is we give the responsibility for our growth to our leaders. And so we only come on Sunday, and that's when you drink. And so what happens is you're not spilling over, you're just empty cup. And this is when you fill. You know what I mean? I want church not necessarily to be a gas station, but a swimming pool. You know what I mean? We should be spilling over on each other, but a lot of times we're just getting filled up. We're like, Peace, Sam, fill me up. Sunday you feel good. Monday, it's resonating. By Tuesday, Wednesday, work and pressure and all these things, and you're empty again because you're not eating. There's no secret life in God of getting in the Word yourself. My job is to equip you to do that. Your job is to do it, to do the work of the ministry. Do you see this transaction? That's what this office is meant for. And so then people say, okay, well, Peace, Sam, is this meant to be after we get the Bible, and then now there's no longer apostles and prophets and evangelists, teachers, and pastors? Or is it, you know, I mean, what's the whole purpose of all these offices? You know, these men are meant to never cease. The whole idea of cessationism, you know, the one thing that even before I was charismatic, when they talked in this context, I always thought it was very fishy. You know, this is fivefold ministries. You're talking about five things, and instantly five make a fist. All right, you want to knock the devil out, you need five, right? You know, if you only have pastors and teachers, you can just poke them in the eye. You know, that doesn't work too well, right? I mean, you want to knock the guy out. And so this is fivefold ministry. And so when you think, and I always thought, you know, this is kind of awkward because they would say that they believe that they're pastors. They believe that there's teachers. Evangelists, 50-50. But certainly prophets and apostles no longer exist. You know, and my simple thing is, where is that in the Bible? You know, where is this delineation from these offices no longer exist and these offices exist now? It doesn't seem to say, but it gives me a little understanding of, you know, when this thing will end. You know when it's going to end? He says in verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. So then if people say that these offices no longer exist, then they have to say that we have attained the unity of the faith. I don't think so. I don't think so. I still think that Presbyterians are fighting with Charismatics. You know, I think that Baptists are fighting with Lutherans. You know, I think there's a lot of disagreement. I don't think there's much unity here. And then, until we attain the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man. So, is the church mature? I don't think so. Right? To the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Are we at the fullness of Christ? I don't think so. Do you know when we're going to be at the fullness of Christ? You know when we're going to attain the unity of this faith? You know when we're going to come to the knowledge of the Son, right, in His full stature? You know when it's going to happen? When Jesus comes back. And so I reckon that these gifts or these offices are meant to exist until Jesus comes back. So which means that these offices are meant to exist today in our lifetime. Incidentally, we are going to have a real live, I'm talking about real deal, present day apostle in October, you know, in a few weeks. You guys know Lauren Cunningham is coming to SP. I mean, this is, I think, without a doubt, recognized in the body of Christ as an apostle in a particular movement, you know, and so we're going to see how this office works live, right, as you hear him speak and as you hear see him minister. And so, you know, so we're no longer children. We're supposed to grow up in this way, this idea of building up. And so we speak the truth in love, all in this idea of one body. We're all individual members, but we all supply everything we need to one another. And so then he goes back to his main point, and let me show you a little something. He says, 17, this I say therefore, and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkness, darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. They having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality. So he's talking about, this is the former manner of life. This is what you were before Christ. Remember, the whole idea of before is, this is who you are in Christ. And so before Christ, maybe you live like this, but now that you're in Christ, you need to live like this. It's a different aspect. But notice this progression of sin. It starts off with callousness, which leads to a hardness of heart, which leads to an ignorance, which leads to us being excluded from God, which leads to darkness. Paul is laying out here kind of a course, a roadmap of sin, a roadmap of what happens in our lives, right? When we sin, what is the progression of our status? It starts simply with just being callous, being flippant, being cavalier, not being careful of what you place your eyes on, not being careful of what you say, not being aware of your attitudes. You know, that simple, like, callousness. It's a real flippant behavior desire. You do something, or I know sometimes, you know, and I always have to repent. I could be very flippant with my wife. You know, I could give her attitudes so easily. And if I don't correct that, it could turn into other things, you know, which are not good for husbands to do. But it starts off with that simple callousness. You know, you get, it's not hardness of heart, because callousness is a whole other level, because he talks about the hardness of heart. But it's that just being unaware, you know, being ignorant in your behavior in a certain way. And so it starts off just simple layers of callousness. You're just callous a little bit. You don't really take mind of what you say. You don't really be careful of what you see. You guys understand what I'm saying? It's this simple attitude of our hearts, and it starts with this little thing, and then it builds, and then once we get callous, it turns into this hardness of our heart, that we become a little more defiant. When that happens, we it leads us to ignorance. You know, in this place, the ignorance that is in us, and then that ignorance, or you know, it's kind of like sin. We just don't care in that certain way, and then what happens? It excludes us from the life of God. It doesn't exclude us from God. It excludes us from the life of God. You know, God's always there. He never leaves us, never forsakes us. But the quality of our relationship with God suffers. And so we're excluded from the life of God, and then it leads us into darkness. This is sometimes people hit rock bottom. And sometimes it's the best thing for them to hit rock bottom. Because then from that place, the only place is up. And so Paul is giving us this picture. And remember, the whole motif is this idea of walking, you know, as we walk along in this. And so he says, so you didn't learn Christ in this way. You know, that was your former life before you were in Christ. And now that you are in Christ, we're gonna walk a little differently. You know, renewed in the spirit of our mind. You put on the new self, which in the likeness of God, verse 24, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So lay aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And it's interesting. Be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. It's interesting. He says that it's okay to be angry. You know, I mean, being angry is not a sin. It's okay to be angry. Jesus was angry a couple times in the scriptures. It's okay to be angry. Angry is a natural human emotion, a response. But he says, but don't let the sun go down. In other words, resolve that anger. Don't let the anger turn into something else. And the word there is, don't give the devil a foothold. Don't let him grab you in that place because of your anger is unresolved. It could be anger. It could be a lot of different things. But don't let these certain things become a foothold that eventually leads into a stronghold. And then you got to go through cascade, you got to go through deliverance. You know, it's better just to repent, right? It's better to live a life in repentance. And so you don't have to be bound, you know, by all these things. And so again, talking about what we are in Christ. So don't steal anymore, you know, with what you have. Share with, what, you know, others. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Notice this idea of grieve the Holy Spirit, right? Connected to going all the way back to the beginning there, that one of the ways that we grieve the Holy Spirit is with our words and our attitudes, right? It's our words. It's our words that we speak. And, I mean, don't we experience this? Like, you could be having a good time and things can be moving along, and then someone says something, and it just ruins the whole mood. You know, maybe someone is not very, like, emotionally stable or has very low EQ, and we go along, and all of a sudden, someone says something just kind of off the wall, and everyone just kind of looks at each other, like, what the heck was that? But the mood is soured. Well, put that in a spiritual context, right? An unwholesome word comes out, and you could just see the Spirit just leave. Right? We grieve the Holy Spirit in this place. So we ought to be careful with the words, especially that we speak to one another. Right? You know, there's that, I mean, you guys are a lot younger than I am, but when I was growing up, there was this rhyme that people used to say. And, you know, people would say names to each other, and they would say, sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never hurt me. You guys remember that? You guys did that? Okay, good. You know, that's not true. You realize as an adult that that's not true at all, that actually sticks and stones, you can heal. It doesn't do anything. But names, we realize, really, really hurt. It really goes deep. And most of us in our life, because someone said something to you, or someone, maybe an authority figure or your dad or someone said something to you and it really wounded you, so much so that your whole life actually is a response from that word, right? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. No. That's false. Names hurt a lot. Accusations hurt a lot. You know, even to this day, I mean, I have a lot of very good memories, you know, but I actually remember just one memory when I was quite young, and that still kind of, you know, and I've been healed and everything, but I can remember it was really the first time that I ever felt the disappointment from my dad. You know, and I was really young, and my older brother and sister, we all went to Disneyland, and we got home really late. We got home like 3 a.m, you know, but I was just part of the group. It was really my brother and sister's fault. It's not my fault. You know, I was always the good son, you know, and so we came home, and so we got in big trouble because we came home really late, and if you come home 3 o'clock, you should get in trouble, right? I was only like, what was I? I was like 14 years old, okay? And so I came home, and then we were doing some landscaping in our front yard because we just moved into this house. And so there was this guy, and he was a Korean landscaper, and he was, you know, doing all the grass and all this stuff. We're putting in a bonsai tree and everything. And he had a son, and his son, actually same name as me, his name was also Sam, right? And I remember, you know, when we're outside, and I was kind of helping out. My dad was talking to this other guy who's the, you know, the landscaper, and he said, oh, you know, basically my kids came home really late last night, blah, blah, blah. And he says, you know, you have a good son. And he said something to the effect of, like, I wish my son was like your son. You know, and I was standing there like, what? I was devastated. You know, I mean, really devastated. It was one of the first times I felt my dad was actually disappointed in me. You know, I never really experienced that before. And I was like, really? And I remember just kind of walking away and just feeling like this big. And I would honestly say that that really affected me in my life for many, many years. And it caused me to have a chip on my shoulder. And so I was just trying to prove myself, you know, all the time after that. Right? Things that we say has impact. My wife tells me that all the time with my kids, right? You know, because I joke around a lot. And he's like, you know, oh, yeah, sorry. You know, I don't want my kids to go through Cascade later on. I mean, they will anyway, but... And so, I mean, really, right? Make sure our words have power. And Paul is really noting that for us. And we understand that because we've been hurt by words, right? And so make sure that bitterness, wrath, anger, attitudes, that's old self. Paul says put on the new self, which is in Christ. Amen? So let's close our eyes. Sorry, it's a little longer than I, but the passage is so rich. There's so many things here, you know, that we can take from. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you. If it's an issue of the unity of the Spirit, of the faith, maybe you are being very critical. And not just, I'm not talking about, you know, I'm sure you're not critical of your leadership here at SP, but maybe other churches or other leaders or whatnot. Don't be an accuser of the brethren. I like the old adage, right? If you have nothing good to say, don't say anything. Just keep it to yourself. I mean, you can have an opinion. But like he says, let it be gracious. Maybe that story that I shared is kind of like someone said something or something happened and there's a weight in your heart. This morning, ask God to heal you. He can heal you. Maybe someone, when you're little, said, oh man, you're kind of chubby. And then that's just affected you. You could be the skinniest person, but always feel so chubby. Let God heal you. Open your heart to the words of Jesus in your life. As Jeff leads us in a song, I want to encourage you to go before the Lord and just begin to get yourself in tune with God and listen to what He's saying to you right now. Thank you.
down in my soul that I can't contain, can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. And here in your arms, here in your arms. No place we'd rather be. There's no place we'd rather be. No place we'd rather be. And here in your love, here in your love. Set a fire down in our soul that we can't contain, that we can't control. We want more of you, God. We want more of you, God. Set a fire down in our soul that we can't contain, that we can't control. We want more of you, God. We want more of you, God.
Let's pray together. Let's ask God to bring a wholesomeness in our language with one another, especially in the body, in our family. Let's pray for the words that we speak may be sprinkled with grace and with love. Let's pray the hand of God be with us and that we would really preserve this unity of the Spirit. That we'd be people that protect and provide that unity. Let's ask Holy Spirit to move in our hearts this morning, individually, as a church, that we walk in a manner worthy of our calling, worthy of our choosing, worthy of the recognition of God's sacrifice in our life, that we respond, not that we have to, but because we get to. Let's pray together, ourselves, let's pray for our church. Thank you. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray with passion because our prayers do matter. Our prayers have impact. They're doing something. Let's pray for our friends, our family members that are ill. Let's ask God's hand to be with them. Pray for provision, for bone marrow matches and everything. Let's just lift up before the Lord. Let's pray for our community that's ill, but more than that, that need that word of salvation from the Lord. Let's pray for others that are sick, going through different things. Let's pray for our church family that are looking for work. Let's ask God's provision, God's hand to be upon them. Let's lift up. So our mission prayer focus, and let's pray for Cambodia. Let's ask God to continue to bless our friends ministering there. Pastor Oh, help him especially to get his PhD approved. Pray for New Life Church and Pastor Tang and their evangelism clubs and all the things that they're doing there. Pray for the Center of Peace Orphanage and the leaders and the kids. Pray for Grace and Bloom. She will be coming here today, actually. And so pray for a safe travel, safe flight here back to Hong Kong. Pray for the Philippines. Pray for our clinic in the leper colony there. Pray for Mr. Elder Chang, and pray for Bhutan and a few open doors that are coming. We might send a team in this January to play basketball and do other things. And so let's just lift up these countries, these ministries. Let's ask God's hand to be upon them. Let's cover our church ministry. So let's pray for our IP team. And really, let's pray for continued strength. You know, we've been sharing the last few weeks that they've been carrying a huge prayer load for the church. And so let's pray for real supernatural strength and the encouragement of God, and that the Lord would just continue to use them, especially to cover Matt. Let's pray for Cascade and the well and the leaders and all the volunteers. Pray for local outreach, particularly the Igape ministry, the homeless ministry, and the Red Light District ministry. Let's pray that people would come and really come alongside and what God's doing with us through our local area. So let's just lift up these leaders and volunteers and ask God to use them powerfully. Let's pray for our SP retreat. Let's pray, in particular, let's pray for Shane Brown, who needs to get his China visa. Let's pray for Josiah Donaldson, that also needs to get his visa and his motherland card or whatever. Let's ask God to really provide for them supernaturally at this time. Let's pray for the weather. There's a tropical storm coming as well as a typhoon coming. And so I think the typhoon is just passing. I looked online yesterday. But let's pray that during this weekend, I don't want good weather. I want perfect weather. Right? I want us to be able to enjoy, especially all the kids and families, the pool and everything. And so let's just pray for a real open heaven of weather at the retreat and the ferry ride there and back. We don't want people to get sick, you know, because the waves are so rough. And so let's just really ask God, who is able to quiet the sea in one word, that's able to speak to nature in one word. And let's pray that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. And let's pray for the weather. Let's pray for the storms that pass us and all kinds of different things. Pray for our speakers. Let's pray for Friday night here at church, that power of God would flow through this place. Pray for our friends traveling from other countries into Hong Kong, from Beijing and other places, and Singapore and whatnot. Let's pray for God's hand to be with them as they travel. Let's pray for a lot of people that are sick right now, a lot of kids that are sick. My daughter Hannah, I know Matthew is sick, and others. Let's really pray for God's hand to be upon them and healing word would come. There'll be no distractions as we lead into the retreat, that we would come in the fullness of God. So let's just lift up and just do some spiritual warfare against all the things the enemy is trying to do. Let's lift up right now. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight. Causeway Bay Elements, Kennedy, Robinson West, and Sha Tin. Let's pray for the leaders. Let's pray hand of God would be upon them, the favor of the Lord. They would really build a strong community. And we would see signs and wonders. We'd see people really experiencing God as we gather together. It just wouldn't be a regular weekly meeting, but the leaders would be so focused on having its members seek God's face and experience Him. And so let's pray for an incredible move of God tonight in each of the churches. Thank you, God. We bless you today, Lord. We thank you for everything that you put our hands to. We pray, God, the favor of God flow through them, Lord. All of our activities, Lord. God, we pray, Lord, as a church, individually, Lord, that we would walk in a manner worthy of the call of God. Lord, worthy of the sacrifice of God, of Christ in our lives. So teach us, Lord. God, help us, Lord God, to walk in a way that pleases you. Lord, because of all that you've done for us, Lord, we thank you, God. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great prayer time, and I will see you guys tomorrow.